Something helpful as I studied this week about finding the strength of the Lord, and it can be stated in a variety of different ways, and different theologians have presented it in different ways, but I found what Pastor John Piper presented to be helpful, and I want to share it with you this morning. He gives five steps in finding the strength of the Lord. He says the number one is to admit. Admit that you can do nothing in your own strength. Admit that you need the strength of the Lord. Admit that without Him, you are nothing, you have nothing, you can do nothing. Step number two, pray. Ask God for His help and for His strength. You need to go to God and simply admit that you don't have the strength to handle this. God, would you please give me your strength? Would you help me through this? It's an admission of our own weakness. It's an admission of His great power. Step number three, trust. Trust God to give you strength. Now, there's something very important here in trusting God. It's not just a matter of trust in trust. It's a matter of trusting the promises of God. And Dr. John Piper is very specific in this. It's not trust without a foundation. It's a trust based on what God has said in His Word. And so you'll need to take your Bible and you'll need to look up what the Bible says about your particular situation, the particular thing you're struggling with, the particular thing where you need God's strength to help you through it, and see what God says about it, and see what promises God makes about it, and put your trust in that. The next step is act. Act in faith. Based on what the Word of God says, determine how you are going to move forward. Determine the steps you're going to take. Determine how you are going to act in life based upon the promises of God. And then finally, thank. Thank God for His strength and His help. We talked about that last Sunday as we looked at Philippians chapter 4, verses 6, 7, and 8. In everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Don't forget the thankfulness part. It will take a spiritual humility to admit that you cannot do it on your own. It will take a spiritual humility to come before God and say, God, I am too weak. I cannot do this. I don't have the wisdom to do this. I don't know my next step in handling this. I don't know what to do. God, show me through your word. And then take your Bible. Somebody said to me the other day, a couple weeks ago, they said, you know, we need to tell people that in the back of their Bible, there's a little thing called a concordance. It has a lot of words in it. And you can look up a word, and then it will tell you in the Bible some of the passages, not all of them, but some of them that use that word. So if you are suffering, you can go to your concordance in the back of your Bible, and almost every Bible has one of these, and you can look up the idea of suffering. Now, I just did this off the top of my head, so watch my Bible not have the word suffering. I'm pretty certain it should. And here we go. Here's the word suffer, and there are about 10 or 12 verses. The word suffered, another 6 or 8 verses. Suffering, 3 more. Sufferings, plural, 4 or 5 more. Suffers, another one. There are all kind of verses here that will you can look up and see what God has to say about that topic. Now, if you want to look up every single verse that has the word suffer in it in your English Bible, you can go to our church library and you can check out what's called an exhaustive concordance. It's a book that's about this big and about that wide and about that thick. And it has every single word that's used in the Bible listed in it. It was written by a man, a Baptist preacher, by the name of Strong's. So it's called Strong's Exhaustive Concordance. Can I tell you a little secret? He did that before the days of computers. He wrote the entire thing by hand. He was brilliant. I couldn't do this with my computer. I'd get halfway through A and just finish, chuck the whole thing. Some of the most brilliant theologians are the old-timers who did everything by candlelight and by hand. And so you are going to look those promises up, those things God says, and you are going to act based on those, and then you are going to thank God for what He is going to do in your life. And it will take a spiritual humility to do all of that, but that is where faith leads you. Faith is not proud. Faith is humble. I want to end our study with some final thoughts. And I want to share these with you because it will be easy for any of us to try to live the life of faith, and when it doesn't go exactly the way we think it should go, to become discouraged and even defeated and possibly quit trying. So let me give you two thoughts here this morning. The first one is, faith does not mean life will change. Trusting God does not mean life will change for you. We tend to have that thought in our minds. If I simply live life by faith, then everything is going to get better. Everything is going to change for me. My problems will go away. They'll disappear. We won't have any more spiritual struggles. Everything will work out. It didn't happen for Habakkuk. The book doesn't tell us what happened after the end of the book. It doesn't tell us what happened after Habakkuk made this great statement, "Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation." But history does. And history tells us that the Babylonians came against Judah. They conquered the nation. They destroyed Jerusalem along with the temple. They killed thousands. They took other thousands captivity. And it was a total rout, a total disaster. All of this in spite of the fact that the prophet had faith in God. Faith does not mean life will change. It might not. Habakkuk's worst fears were realized. Verse 17 became a reality in Judah. We do not have faith. We do not live by faith. We do not walk by faith, so life will get better for us. We have faith because that's how God wants us to live. He wants us to trust Him no matter what's going on in our lives. He wants us to trust Him that He will do the right thing. You can have faith and still have problems. Your faith, if you live by faith, the just shall live by faith. That's the premise of the book of Habakkuk. You can do that. You can live by faith, and your faith will still be tested. Satan tests your faith. He did that with Job. God tests your faith. He did that with Abraham. Life in general will test your faith. Faith does not mean that life will change. Now, I hope and pray that it does for you. But if it doesn't, please don't get discouraged. Continue walking by faith. The second thing I want to leave with you from this, our study of the book of Habakkuk, is faith will still struggle with God. Now, I know I'm leaving you with the bad news here, but I think you need to know this. Faith will still struggle with God. Just because you live by faith does not mean that you will never struggle with God again. You will. The disciples struggled with Jesus, and they walked with him day after day after day. They were right there. They rubbed shoulders. They ate with him. They slept on the ground beside him. They listened to him teach, and they struggled with God. They struggled with their faith. People that we consider to be some of the great Christians of history have struggled with their faith. Struggling with God is not a problem. God won't strike you with a bolt of lightning if you struggle with him in the dark times of life. Faith has always been a struggle. Faith will always be a struggle. Don't think that because you live a life of faith that you won't struggle with God or you won't struggle with life itself. Faith will always be a struggle because we are in this flesh. But there will come a day when we will no longer walk by faith. We will walk by sight when we see Jesus. And when that day comes, the struggles will be over. When you struggle with God because you don't understand him like Habakkuk, just tell God that you're struggling with him. Tell God that you don't like what he's doing in your life. Tell God that you don't understand him. And then ask him to help you walk by faith. Just tell him, God, I'm willing to walk by faith. Not I'm willing to walk by faith if you'll explain it all to me. If he explains it all to you, faith is not necessary. Faith is necessary when you don't have the explanation, when you don't have the answers, when you don't know what's going to happen next. Simply ask God to give you faith to walk in the dark. I think the prophet had come to that point. I don't think you can read verses 17, 18, and 19 without believing that he finally came to that point, that he was going to walk by faith, even in the dark. Well, I hope our study of the book of Habakkuk has helped you with some of your questions and answers. The question that we started this series with was, where is God in the bad times? And the answer that Habakkuk gave us was, he's present. He's there, and he's working out his plan for our world and for our lives. And what he wants from us is simply our faith, to trust him, to live by faith, even when the world around us is falling apart. I am very concerned for each of you. I'm concerned for our community. I'm concerned for our country and for our world. As I watch this pandemic go longer and longer, and people are quarantined more and more, and they're isolated from each other more and more, and especially our older people who are in assisted care living, or they're at home alone by themselves, and they can't get out and mingle, and they can't talk, and they can't see their family, and they can't see their friends, and some of them are dying in hospitals without anybody there from their family. And we're living in a bad time. It's as bad as anything that any of us have seen in our lifetime. What does God want from us? He wants us to walk by faith, to trust him that he knows what he's doing, to trust him that he can bring us through this, to trust him that he can bring good out of evil. The challenge before us, folks, is to walk by faith. I hope that sometime during this next week, you can turn to Habakkuk chapter 3 and verse 18, and you can say, God, this is where I am. God, this is me. I'm going to rejoice in the Lord. I am going to joy in the God of my salvation. As you live by faith, you can rejoice in the Lord in spite of the difficulties of life. Let's pray together. Father, it is not easy to live the Christian life. Satan is against us. Sin is against us. Our own nature is against us. Our flesh is weak. And yet you have called us to be people of faith, to live by faith, to trust you in life, to trust you that you can bring good out of evil, that you can take difficult circumstances in our lives and you can make them better, that you can resolve personal conflicts in our lives, that you can resolve health issues in our lives, that you can take us through the difficulties of life if we will simply do the right thing. Lord, forgive us for expecting other people to do the right thing when we know that we need to do what's right. Lord, help us to be people of faith. Lord, help us, even if the world collapses around us, to rejoice in the Lord and to find joy in the God who saved us. I pray in Christ's name. Amen.